Okay, so we are in the middle of a study called Family Fundamentals. And we've been looking at what the Bible says about the family. And we learned that God instituted the family right in the very beginning when Adam found out that all of these other animals in the animal kingdom, they were paired up, but Adam didn't have anybody, and it was not good that he should be alone. So God, of course, created and brought Eve to him. And so from that point on, God had a design for a family, for the family. And we saw how God intends marriage to be a lifetime bond, and we saw the responsibility in the home of the wife and to submit, and of the husband to love and to lead. And then we learned last week about our children. And for those of us who not only are children, have children, but have grandchildren, we learned that our children and grandchildren have a sin nature. And usually we learn that right away. And so that's something we learned. And even though they are a gift of God, and even though they are created in His image, they still have that sin nature. Therefore, what we learned last week is we need to teach them obedience and biblical responsibility and self-denial. But today we're going to learn about the discipline of our children, and not how to, you know. It's not going to be a bring the child into the room and bend him over your knee, and you know, it's not going to be that kind of lesson. But the Bible does have much to say about discipline. And we, friends, you and I, we live in a permissive society. What do we mean by that, permissive society? Anything goes, right? And parents are giving their kids permission to do anything they want to do. Sometimes kids don't even ask permission. They just do it. And permissiveness is not at all the teaching of the Scriptures. But it is the strategy of the devil. And God's warning in our text, today, Ephesians 6:4. We're going to look at the first half of the verse today and the second half of the verse next week. We see a negative and a positive, and we'll look at the negative today and the positive tomorrow. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that first half of the verse, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. our text here is not directed against discipline. When it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, it's not speaking against discipline, but against the type of discipline which provokes wrath, which we'll talk about in a minute. Notice with me the word fathers. The word here for fathers is the Greek word pater, and it means father or parent. It is the same Greek word translated as parents in Hebrews 11:23, where the Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Okay? So the phrase, it's the same Greek word. So we're going to see in a moment that discipline predominantly falls under the responsibility of the father, but the mother also has the responsibility. We'll talk about that in a moment. The phrase, provoke not your children to wrath, in the Greek means don't stimulate your children to be enraged or angered. Okay? Don't stimulate your children to become enraged or angered by your discipline. The type of discipline that provokes to wrath is discipline that is indefinite. Okay? Rather than definite, rather than having a definite plan, you really don't have a plan. And you know, maybe one day you're against this, but the next day you're not. Maybe it's okay for Johnny to do this, but it's not okay for Jimmy. You know, so it needs to be definite, not indefinite. It's unequal, okay? For a minor infraction, maybe the discipline is severe, okay? And it's inconsistent. So the kind of discipline that provokes to wrath is indefinite, unequal, inconsistent. You know, I get in trouble for this sometimes. I don't get in trouble for this all the time. And then when you say something to your kid, you know, about they're getting in trouble for that, well, how come it wasn't last week? You know, and that begins to provoke them to wrath. So proper discipline then must be definite. It must be equal, and it must be consistent, okay? It needs to be definite, equal, and consistent. And I want to address something before we go any farther into our class. I hear many parents say, and I even hear Christian parents say this, okay? They say, I just want to be my kid's friend. Okay? Stop. You are not their friend. You are their parent. Now, of course you love them. That's a no-brainer. But you're not their friend. You're their parent. Okay? And they need a parent. They need guidance from a parent. They don't need a friend. Okay? And it has nothing to do with you loving them. It has nothing to do with you wanting to spend time with them. Nothing. Okay? You're not their friend. You're their parent. You're their authority figure. What does a friend mean? You're a peer. Okay? You are not your child's peer. You are your child's parent. Okay? So don't say that and don't do that. And let your kids know, I'm not your friend. You know, I'm your parent. I'm your mother. I'm your father. All right? They need parents. So today we're going to see six simple rules, very simple rules, that will help us avoid discipline which provokes our children to wrath. If you're a grandparent here, okay, how many grandparents do we have here? Ooh, probably more grandparents than parents, okay? If you're a grandparent here, all right, help your kids with these same rules. If your grandchild has a rule that they have in their house, it has to be the same rule in your house, you know? Don't be the one, you know, that comes home from a weekend at grandma and grandpa's, and then all of a sudden you're kid says, well, grandpa let me do that. You know? Wow, grandpa took me out for ice cream in between meals. You know? If you know what the rules are, follow them as a grandparent. Okay? Don't undo in one weekend what it has taken them a lot of time to teach. Okay? And be sure you as grandparents know what those rules are, okay? And you may even have a few rules of your own. Maybe your house is a little stricter, you know, whatever. But the kids need to know this. Now, rules are made to be what? Uh-oh. People do break them, but we're talking about our kids now here. Rules are meant to be followed, okay? Now, after So we had two kids, two boys, and one of our sons went off to Bob Jones, and one of our sons went off to Pensacola. And Bob Jones in Pensacola, back a few years ago, I don't know if they still do, but they had rules. And they had some rules that were, be honest with you, ridiculous. Okay? But we told our kids that even though these may not be rules in our home, they are rules when you are there. And you will follow them. No matter how ridiculous you think they are, you will follow them. And you know, kids, friends, you may not think this, and we live in a kind of society that kids function better when they have guidelines, when they have fences, when they have perimeters, when they know what they can and can't do. Okay? And that's what we're trying to do here, you know, with this provoking not our children to wrath. And, you know, and again, if you send your kids off to school and the particular school you send your kid to has rules, let them know, hey, you got to follow those rules. And if it doesn't have rules, make sure that you set up rules of your own. So be, number one of these first six simple rules, be definite. Be definite. What do we mean by this? Household rules and instructions to children need to be definite. Dad and mom need to agree to the requirements and be consistent in there and make sure things which are simple to you are clear to them. Now, of course, if you have little kids, the rules are going to be different, right? And if you have older kids, you know, so as your child grows, the rules change. They're given more responsibilities. You expect more from them. But make sure that your child, your preteen, your teen, understands these rules. Don't just expect because you wrote them on a piece of paper and gave them to them, they understand. Sit down. Explain it to them, okay? And mom and dad, you know, work on this together. Be consistent. Be consistent. Be definite. If something is wrong for Johnny, it has to be wrong for Jimmy and Susie and the younger, the older. You know, you have to be definite. Write it down. And here's a little extra help for the grandparents. Give a copy of it to the grandparents so that when they're at the house, they know what the rules are. Sometimes your grandkids are at the house with the parents, you know, but if you have them alone for any amount of time, make sure you know what the rules are, okay? It's not, you know, yeah, free for all, whack grandpas, you know. This is tough. It's hard. You know, you don't see your grandkids a lot, and when you see, well, we don't, you know, and when you see them, you want to spoil them, but, you know, you don't want to undo and then send them back all sugared up and, you know, way to go. Here you go. This is a punishment for you, Jesse, because of, you know, no, don't do that. Don't be that way, okay? Write it down. Write down what is expected, and let the child know what the penalty is also, okay? Now, again, little children, we're talking about when they begin to understand the thinking process a little bit, you know. If you do this, you don't get this, you know. Simple. Some of these are simple. You know, if you want dessert, you got to eat everything. If you don't eat everything, you don't get dessert. That was a very simple rule in our house. No Bible, no breakfast, you know. Do your devotions in the morning. And if you don't do your devotions, you don't eat, you know. And, you know, just things like that. And whatever it may be, but let them know also what the penalty is, okay? And post it for all to see. let the, you know, make sure it's in a place where everybody knows what the rules are. If you have to review them, you know. But children need to know what is required of them and what the consequences are. We go to work, right? And when we go to work, you know, we know what's required of us. And so kids need to know what is required of them. Don't expect them to know, okay? But make sure they know, and they know what the consequences are. Mom and dad, you sit down and you figure out what the consequences are. And make sure the consequences fit the crime, okay? You know, minor infractions, minor consequences. Major infractions, major consequences. All right? Any questions on be definite? Be definite. Have a plan. Stick to the plan. Make sure the kids know what the plan is. And grandma and grandpa too. Okay? All right, number two. Be fair. Be fair. Don't make ridiculous rules. You know? Let boys be boys. You know? Boys are a little bit rougher. You know, they go outside and they, you know, tumble and climb trees and whatnot. Let boys be boys. Let them be adventurous and whatnot, of course, you know, but be fair, you know. And you shouldn't go, you know, to the local cell tower and climb it just because it's there, you know, but be fair. But let boys be boys. You know, it's easy to apply rules unequally in the family. You know, sometimes you may have, how many of you have more than one child? Or okay. Now, were those children very different? Okay. Some of them comply much easier than others. Some of them are easier to train than others. Some of them are stubborn. Some of them are pleasant. You know, some of them, so that's why we need to apply, you know, we need to make sure the rules apply equally. You know, now one child may get in trouble more than the other, but, you know, and don't compare, you know, why can't you be like your brother? You know, do you think Mary and Joseph ever said to James and Jude, why can't you be like Jesus? Think they ever said that? I don't know. That's just, but my mother never said that to my sister. Why can't you be like your brother? Because I was the oldest and I was not good. So anyway, some children are easier to train, some are difficult. But be fair. If it's unacceptable behavior for one, it has to be unacceptable behavior for the other. Now I realize there may be certain rules in your home that I only raise boys, so I realize you might have certain rules for boys versus girls, but be fair. If something is wrong, it's wrong, no matter who is doing it. And I know sometimes parents, you know, the more kids you have, the younger ones tend to get away with, you know, don't be fair, you know. Be fair. And if it's acceptable behavior for one, then it's accept just like the if it's unacceptable for one, it's unacceptable for everybody. If it's acceptable for one, then it's acceptable for all. No favoritism. Okay? Look what happened to Jacob and his family when he showed favoritism, you know, to Joseph. You know, you might have your kids selling their sibling into slavery. You know, and you don't want that to happen, okay? So don't show favoritism, okay? Any questions on this? Favoritism. Good. Got it down. Number three, be consistent. Be consistent. Make good and fair rules and be consistent. Again, rules will change as a child gets older, right? You know, things will change when a child gets older. When a child is young, you don't have to worry about a curfew. But, you know, you have to. Rules change when kids start to drive, okay? And you know, older kids will have more responsibilities than younger kids. So, you know, make good rules and fair rules and be consistent. And require obedience every time. Don't fall for this. Oh, Dad, just this once. Don't fall for that. Because that just this once will turn into, well, remember? They won't forget. So be consistent. And you know, make good and fair rules and adjust those rules as your kids get older. You know, friends, some people have their dogs trained better than their kids. You know? And I'm not against having your dog trained, you know, but we need to make sure that our kids are trained. And what does it take? T-I-M-E. Time. It takes time. It takes effort. But your kids are worth it, you know, because you're as we're going to see next week, we want to, you know, build them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay? This isn't easy. It takes time. It takes effort. Be non-negotiable. Rule number four, be non-negotiable. What do we mean by that? Well, friends, we do not, as a nation, enter into negotiation with terrorists. We do not enter into negotiations with our children. Okay? It's not, this isn't fair. You know, let's negotiate this, Dad. Okay, Dad, if you let me do this, I'll do this. We don't negotiate with the kids. A rule is a rule. No, you know, our past president wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. We're not dealing with our kids. Okay? There's no, you know, okay, the kids get together. Okay, we'll ask for this, but we really only want this. So let's go in as a united front. No negotiate. Tell them. We don't negotiate with terrorists. You know, it's not happening. Wrong is wrong. If it's wrong here, it's wrong there. Okay? So be non-negotiable. Once Dad and Mom have agreed on the rules, they are non-negotiable. And friends, children are master negotiators. Don't fall for tears. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for tantrums. And don't fall for talented acting. You know, what do kids learn when they throw a tantrum in public? You see that a lot, right? Don't you see that a lot of kids throwing it? What have they learned? Hey, Mom, can I have this? No. To shut the child up, what do? They give it to them. Children are masters at the art of the deal. Don't fall for it, okay? And if you train them early, they'll know this. But don't fall for the tears and the tantrums and the talented acting. Think, parents, think before you speak. Think before you make these rules. You and your wife sit down together and make these rules for your kids. Think about it. Pray about it. Write them down, and then they're non-negotiable. Maybe as you go along as parents, you see, hey, this isn't the best rule. You change the rule, not the kid. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe the wife will say something because predominantly the raising of the children falls on the wife more so than the father, but maybe the wife sees, you know, this ain't working. So, you know, you two then negotiate. And if the rules change, you change them, not the kids. Okay? Remember, who's the parent? Who's the authority figure? You are. Okay? And So after you've spoken, though, be non-negotiable. A child needs a clear rule. They need to know what is right, what is wrong, what is expected of them, what are the consequences if things go south. They can easily do without exceptions to rules. Okay? Again, you know, don't fall for just this once, you know, or grandpa, you know. All right? Be non-negotiable. Any questions on that? Joan. Right. Right. Oh, sure. Yeah. Right. Yep. Oh, sure. Yep. 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 And another thing, also understand that a lot of times other children may come to your house. Their rules aren't the same as your rules, okay? You can't raise other people's kids, okay? But you still expect your kids to know the rules when other kids are there too, okay? So don't, you know, force your rules on other children's rules. Did I see a hand in the back? Yeah, Marianne. Right, right. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to talk about that in a minute about public things. Barb? You use the hairbrush on her? No, I'm only teasing. Oh, my. It works. Yeah. Yeah, the look. The looks are good. My wife has this look. You know, over the glasses, where that was trouble. So, anyway. So be non-negotiable. Number five, be agreed. Now, who do we mean here? Mom and dad, okay? You need to be a united front, okay? You need to be a united front. Don't allow the child to play one parent against the other. If dad or mom say no, then it is no. If dad or mom say yes, then it is yes. You know, the child should learn early that if I go to dad and ask to do something, and he says no, then if I go to mom, she's going to say the same thing. You know, but what happens sometimes? Mom and dad are not a united front. You know, dad's buried under the hood of the car and do something, you know, and the kid asks to do something, and dad doesn't really listen. Dad says, yeah, go ahead. You know, zoom, you know, and the kid's doing it, and then mom sees them, and, you know. So we have to be a united front as parents. Punish your child for doing a parental end-around. You know, hey, dad is soft on this one, you know. Dad likes ice cream. So I'll ask him, hey, you know, and or whatever it may be, you know, and that's why, parents, you need to have a united front, okay? And let them know early that this is not acceptable. If one parent says no, the other one's going to say no too, and has to say no. And, you know, if you don't know what the other child, you know, if Susie comes to you and says, Dad, Mom said I can do this, and you know, you better go and talk to Mom and say, did you say Susie could do this? You know, and then, of course, if Mom says no, Susie's in trouble. If Mom said yes, then not in front of the kids, but Mom and Dad need to have a conversation, okay? But parents, you know, a home with one lax and one firm parent is a recipe for trouble with the kids, okay? United front. United front. The child will learn how to get what they want, okay? Now, I don't know if Barb, you know, the father of the kids would go shopping, and, you know, I don't know if it was the same rule, you know, so, but, you know, you have to have that united front. Yes is yes from either parent, no is no from either parent. It needs to be that way. Jamie? Oh, yeah. Oh, kids are going to push all of these rules and all of these buttons. That's what kids do. A list? Shock treatment. Okay, so be agreed. Be agreed. Number six, be quick to execute discipline. Okay? Now, you need to set up discipline in your home, and you need to set up biblical discipline in your home. And we're not going to talk so much about that in this particular class, but, you know, the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child, you know. So, proper biblical discipline is not child abuse. Our world would tell us it is. Our society tells us it is. But be quick to execute discipline. Promptness pays. Okay? Promptness pays. In our court system, justice is long delayed. Right? People are on death row their whole life, and then they die in prison. You know? And justice is often long delayed. Don't delay punishment until some other time. Now, if you are out in public today, do not spank your child in public. Do not do it. But you make sure that child knows that when they get home, they're going to be disciplined. And be sure you remember. Be sure you remember. Now, if correction is needed, take the child aside and do it. Again, not in public, and not in front of the other siblings. Not in front of people. We had a family in the church once, and the kids were sitting in the very front row. I wasn't the, it was our home church. So the kids are in the front row with the parents. One of the boys was misbehaving, and he was just being bad, to where the pastor, you know, is making these looks. The father picked the kid up, put him under his arm like this, and he's carrying him out as the kid is screaming, "Help! He's going to kill me!" You know. But all the parents are kind of smiling, but you know, but don't discipline the child. Don't discipline the child in front of people. It's private. And don't even do it in front of other siblings. You know, it's a teachable moment, and it's embarrassing, you know, and you know, but take the child aside. Now, again, if something happens in public, you may have to leave the store. You know, if it's that, you may have to leave the store and go back, you know, but don't do it in public. We've heard too many horror stories about that, you know. And if you apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning, it's not child abuse. You know, I do not believe that a child should be hit in the face, in the back, in the chest, in the arm, you know. Again, we're not going to get into that, but understand that. Mom, Jamie mentioned being away. You may have to deal with something if dad is not home, okay? In the father's absence, it is necessary for a mother to take charge in discipline. This is delegated authority, okay? Dad needs to know about it when he comes home, you know, or maybe the way you deal with this is you just go up in your room until dad comes home. Now, if dad's on a two-week work trip, you can't do that. You might want to do that, but you can't do that. But, you know, how you set it home, how you set it up at home is your business, you know. But mom may have to deal with some discipline. And this is predominantly, though, the father's responsibility, okay? If you're a single mom, you know, this difficult responsibility falls on you. You know, you have to discipline your child and ask the Lord for strength to do it. But be quick to execute discipline. And, you know, as a child gets older, you know, and the rod no longer works, you know, teenagers and whatnot, then there's grounding and there's, you know, taking things away and things like that that are a form of discipline. But you know, we need to be disciplinarians. All right, any questions, thoughts, comments, Paul Joe?